Welcome to Baderson. We make up stories improvised and recorded live. We start each story by choosing a random phrase from a source of text. My name is Mike, and my source is Killing Hope, U.S. Military and CIA Interventions Since World War II by William Blum.
Oh, so good. My name is Drew, and my source is by the wonderful Pulitzer Prize-winning Barbara W. Tuchman. It's called A Distant Mirror, The Calamitous 14th Century.
Wow. My name is Casey, and my source is Attached, The New Science of Adult Attachment and How It Can Help You Find and Keep Love by Amir Levine, MD, and Rachel S.F. Heller, MA.
All right, Drew's going to pick one of our names, and that person will end up picking a random phrase.
Mike!
Killing Hope!
All right. We're killing hope.
Killing some hope today, Badersons. I stopped sort of early in the book, and my hand is wiping the page, stopping toward the bottom, and the words are, much stronger now than a few years earlier. Our prompt is, much stronger now than a few years earlier.
The boxing gym had seen hardly any traffic in the last couple of years, and Trevor was in there every morning at 6 a.m., almost by himself, just working the bags, just the footwork, everything he could do to get better. He was almost alone every day, except for a trainer that would come in for a couple hours at a prearranged time, and they'd go over some drills, they'd work on some reflex stuff. But he had a sort of Rocky-like determination that really couldn't be appreciated by anyone because he was pretty much by himself every day.
And he had been training because the All-City meet was at the end of the year, and this was the first year he was going to be eligible. He just turned 17, and he was the first year he could compete, and his older brother had won the All-City meet. His dad had won the Old City meet. His grandpa lost in the finals of the Old City meet, but everybody thought he should have won. And Trevor didn't love boxing, but it was so important to him to maintain this family tradition.
He wanted to compete, win, and then be done with it. He could satisfy his family duty by doing that much. And so he's slugging the bag. And he hears a voice behind him, which he never heard because he generally had the gym to himself. Voice behind him said, "Those are some heavy swings." And Trevor turned around. He didn't quite catch the words because he had earbuds in, and he pulled the earbuds out and he turned around. And here was a beautiful adult woman, snappily dressed, and looked like, you know, a professional person who has done a lot in her life. A serious cut to the chase. You could get all this from the way she dressed and the way she was looking at Trevor. And he said, "Who are you?" And she said, "I'm Sheila Davis, PPN reporter." PPN was the biggest nationwide sports network. Everybody knew PPN. And he said, "Okay, yeah, I've heard of it." And she said, "You haven't heard of me because I'm not on the air, but I decide what goes on the air. And I didn't come here expecting to run into a boxing phenom, but you're probably the strongest teenager I've ever seen. You're still a teenager, right?"
He said, "Technically, yeah, I'm 19 years old." She said,
17
years old.
She said, said in my briefing that you were 17. He's like, "Yeah, all right. What about it? What's it to you?"
She said, "Well, you know, I think this All City meet, you know, there's not a lot of boxing gyms open in the city anymore. There's not a lot of competitors, and to be honest with you, the heat's kind of lightening on the old boxing match. That's what you say, right?
And he says, come again.
I'm sorry. Did you mean it's getting more heat or less heat?
The heat is coming out of the.
And heat, where? Is heat bad or is heat good?
What heat's good, and what I'm saying is not as many people care about it. The turnout's not so good. You guys are having trouble keeping the lights on at the gym, and I think maybe we can help each other out. I think we can reinvigorate this particular sporting endeavor, and I think you're the charismatic front man I've been looking for to tell this story.
And so they went to Trevor's house because she's a smooth talker, she's a sharp talker, and she's a heavy talker, and she gets her way,
which is
if
good.
She gets talking. And he's a minor and can't make decisions like this on his own, so they go right to his house, and she's smooth, hard, and sharp talks her way through this conversation with Trevor's daddy-o.
And Trevor's dad, I mean, the competition was the most important thing in his life. He had grown up under the legacy of his dad having almost won, and so it was really important for his dad to win, and he organized the tournament. He talked about it all the time. He coached Trevor's older brother, Stefan, in his quest to win it. It was really like his whole life. And he knew that boxing in the city and boxing nationwide was in decline. And this was one of the original famous boxing tournaments. And so he was well primed to accept Sheila's pitch for how she was going to bring this thing back and raise its status again.
Until she got to the end of the pitch. The pitch was, people don't care so much about boxing, but they always love stories. And if we can tell your kid's story, and Trevor's dad's going, yeah, 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 you know, training, getting to the match, the weigh-in, yeah, yeah, yeah. Boxing is set up. It's got all these checkpoints. We've got a natural narrative arc. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the story of your son preparing to fight in an underground boxing league in Appalachia. And Daddy-O said, whoa, 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 we've got a match set up. It's in 3 weeks. And she said, that's the old story. This is the real story. She actually said the real story, even though it was a fake story. He was not part of an underground boxing ring. But she said the real story, because to her that was the story that people want to hear, is a kid who's so into boxing, but he's got no infrastructure for him to do it anymore. You've got an empty gym, no matches, so he's got to pursue his craft in this illegal underground ring. And this is not what Trevor wants to do. He wanted to do one match and out so that he and his best friend could start the local newspaper that they wanted to do. That's his dream. And now he's getting his family talked into this whole documentary project from Sheila Davis at PPN.
And it's not even a real documentary. She's fabricating this whole story. She had actually already lined up the underground backwoods boxing matches in Appalachia and set stuff up. And she kept repeating this phrase, this is the real story, this is the real story. And no matter how they tried to protest, she was just smooth and hard and fast and kept going. And they felt they couldn't keep track of what was real and what wasn't real. And by the end of the conversation, much to Trevor's chagrin, his dad had actually signed a contract with Sheila and PPN for him to star in this pseudo documentary about his quest to pursue boxing in this underground boxing situation.
He could always go for the All City next year. He was still eligible at 18. So dad would get what he wants. And in fact, the publicity around this story would maybe revitalize boxing in all the local gyms, like the ones that this family had gone to for so many years. So the ink's not even dry. Sheila rolls it up the paper, puts it in her briefcase, and says, "You made a smart choice here today, men.
I'll see you. I'll see you in a month on location. We're going to start filming. We've got a whole campaign of sort of guerrilla advertising on the internet that's going to go out. It's all thought out. We'll talk about it more later. Just stay in shape, get your boxing chops together, do a bunch of sit-ups, and we'll talk." And she just breezed out of there. Trevor
and a crew showed up the next day. Trevor was at the gym hitting the bag, and on that day they just filmed him punching the bag. On the next day, the camera person, whose name was Jack, started giving him some direction, like not just where to stand, but like some like acting stuff, like try to think about, you know, something like think about your dad right now while you're punching, and then maybe stand way over here and then run at the bag and just like throw yourself at it.
He said, and, like, what if you were, he kept coaching him in weird ways, saying things like, what if you were really angry at your dad? What if you didn't have any strength in your left arm because of a neurological condition, and you had to build that up? What would that look like? Let me see some of that. And Trevor was confused. Trevor was a little sick to his stomach through all of this. I mean, he hated the whole concept, the deceit of it. Boxing for him was not about performance in a pretense sense. It was just a way for him to prove himself, to connect with his dad and his grandfather. So these little scenarios that this producer / cameraman kept suggesting were deeply disturbing. He didn't understand where they were going or what the point of them was.
And the next month goes by like this, where they're filming all this stuff, they're asking all these weird questions, they're making him do weird stuff. And
they've got him dressing in clothes he wouldn't normally wear. They're starting to develop a backstory to him about how he was, you know, grew up super poor.
And they take him down to Appalachia. They lived in Pittsburgh, and they take him down to Appalachia, and he has a boxing match, the match, and he has the match, and it's against this really weird, scary looking guy who's probably in his 30s and
who's never boxed before in his life.
Yeah. Trevor just handles the guy, knocks him out in the second round. It's a completely lopsided fight. Goes back home. The crew's like, great.
Wait, it was a real fight. Like,
yeah, it was a real fight.
The setup was staged. He's got a false backstory. They gave him a different last name because his real last name is Bach, and Trevor Bach didn't sound cool enough, and so they changed it to Brockman. And so many fake things, but they put him in the ring, and all of a sudden, this is like the first time in a month, no one's giving him any direction, and there's this guy twice his age, this weird guy.
And he's mad. He's got a lot of anger built up from everything that's been going on. And
so that was a real fight, and Trevor, did his best, and it was actually the first real fight that Trevor had done. He'd just been prepping for this all-city match until then. So he wins.
He goes back to Pittsburgh. The crew goes home, everything. And Trevor's hanging out with his boyfriend, Nico, like in the days afterwards. And he's just recounting all this stuff and saying, yeah, it's so a weird experience. And I don't know, I guess we'll see. And Nico's always been worried about Trevor boxing at all. And this situation even made it a little fishier. And so he was just kind of saying like, well, at least you and Manea will be able to start that newspaper when you get your check from PPN. And he's like, oh yeah, and hopefully I'll be able to, the money that my dad gets, they'll be able to keep the tournament going for another year, and I'll be able to box in the All City next year as well. And so a couple weeks go by, and the documentary is going to be released on PPN. And so the whole family,
this is the first episode of the documentary. Yeah. The first, it's going to be a 3-part series.
Yeah. And so the whole family gathers around to watch it, and Nico's over and Manea's over. And the story is not only unrecognizable, but it's excruciating. It's all about how Trevor grew up in this abusive family and in poverty, and had all these
significant
brushes with the law, and
has significant learning disabilities from head trauma when he was young.
And they cut together all the footage. This is real footage, and they cut it together and edit it in all this weird way to just tell this awful, tragic story. And chapter one is all about the history of Trevor. And so it's this completely fabricated backstory about his terrible, tragedy-ridden upbringing, which couldn't be further from the truth. And the family is just sort of stunned. They try to get in contact with Sheila. She doesn't return their calls. They
start arguing with each other because of the situation they found themselves in. Trevor and his dad are screaming at each other within minutes. It's your fault.
I didn't even want to do this in the first place.
And dad is yelling back, I didn't make this happen. Okay. Like I'm as hoodwinked as you are. And then he's yelling about, stuff that he did in the fight with the weird guy. The dad is really disappointed in how he fought. That wasn't in the episode, but this is stuff that dad's kept under his lid. But now that they're yelling at each other, they're letting it all out. And he's criticizing his son's boxing. And Trevor's mom, Diane, opens the coat room, and there's a cameraman in there. It's Jack. He was stowed in there, and he was filming the fight. And he said, "What are you doing?"
And Jack just runs. takes his camera and just runs out of the house, running away, and just like runs away.
Everybody's jaw just drops, and they start looking at each other and realizing, like, the closet that's now open. There's like some cable running out of there, and they follow the cable, and it's connected in their sort of utility closet where they've got like an air exchanger for their HVAC system and stuff. They go in there, and the cable actually runs through the closet, through the wall into this HVAC closet. And it connects to this little blinking server. And they find that there's another couple of cameras that have been installed in their house. And they just start dismantling the stuff in their house. They start getting a little paranoid. They start going over every square inch of the rooms to try to find hidden cameras. They do find a couple hidden cameras,
and they freak out, and they go and they decide this, like, all right, we don't even know if we can catch anything. We're going to just go stay with Grandpa. So they go and they like move into Grandpa's house, and what's that?
They said, we don't know if we can catch anything.
Catch everything. They don't know if they can find all the cameras or microphones. The house is infiltrated with stuff. So they just sort of give up and decide to go stay at Grandpa's house. And the whole week they're talking about the episode, and they're talking about everything, and they're trying to get in touch with Sheila. They can't get any response for PPN. Next week rolls around, episode two of the miniseries is released. And this is all about Trevor's becoming a boxer and how he's embracing the boxing, and similarly full of just complete fabrications about how he took all these performance enhancing drugs and how he beat his dad up so badly, he hospitalized his dad while he was training, and how he had this bloodlust and how all he wanted to do was fight and hurt and kill people. It was just this whole fabrication.
And it used some footage from the fight that they'd had that Jack had filmed through the closet, which wasn't a physical fight, but the yelling was real. And
in the aftermath of the second episode, the family descends into bickering and arguing again. But the thing that's weird about this argument is that people start citing stuff. They start saying stuff like, about like, well, this never would have happened if, you know, you hadn't pushed me down the stairs when I was a kid, which is not something that happened in real life. It was something that was in the first episode of the miniseries. And they were all arguing and sort of getting confused about their reality. They were starting to accidentally have these things infiltrate their heads that had come across in the two episodes so far, which further complicated matters.
In the middle of this blow up that's happening, and people are trying to snap each other back into reality, and it's confused and they're yelling at each other, Nico comes over, kind of knocks tentatively on the door, and they let Nico in, and Nico has been listening outside for a few minutes to what's going on and comes in with a very calming presence and sits everybody down and gathers the energy and says, listen, y'all are better than this. You're stronger than this. You have a common enemy. I've never felt good about this boxing from the jump, but now I'm very much opposed. I think we need to take some action here to make our own little documentary.
And right when they say that, they hear a noise in the they hear a noise that's in the pantry. They're talking in the kitchen, and they hear a noise in the pantry. And Diane opens the pantry, and Mother effing Jack is there with the camera. they are, again, they're just gobsmacked. They make a run for him, but he's got to step on him, bursts out the back door, and takes off. And sure enough, they start looking around, and Grandpa, they hadn't even checked. They just assumed, but Grandpa's house.
Like, they said they were electricians that were, yeah, they needed to work on the meter.
And so they
can't believe
they started yelling at Grandpa, and Grandpa's defending himself. And Nico says, everybody, this is what they want. Don't you get it? And Diane actually slugs Nico in the face and knocks him out cold. He's out before he hits the ground.
He had a glass chin.
A glass jaw.
He was not a boxer in any way, shape, or form.
A weak chin. He had a weak chin and a glass jaw.
And
double whammy.
Trevor lunges for his mom. His dad barely holds him back. He shoves his dad off of him. He scoops Nico up and he runs out into the snow. And he just puts him in the Jeep and drives. And it's slippery. He's driving fast and he drives into a ditch. And so then he opens the Jeep and he scoops up Nico and he just walks.
And he walks to Manea's house, and
Grandpa lived in town. Yeah.
Yeah. Grandpa lived in town and
pretty close to Manea.
It was it was not a short walk, but it was walking distance. And so he stays with Manea for a couple of days. He's trying to decompress, nurse Nico back to health. And the rest of the family goes and stays at a hotel because they don't trust being in Grandpa's house anymore. And
after 3 days at Manea's house, she's been really hands-off, just like giving him a chance to reset, giving Trevor a chance to reset. Nico finally woke up, started eating again. And on the third day, she's early in the morning, got her stuff. She's got a suitcase packed and a coat on. And Trevor sleeps in the couch in the living room, and he wakes up and he sees her there. She was clearly waiting for him to wake up. And he's like, what's going on? And she said, I haven't had a chance to tell you since you got here or everything that was going on in your life beforehand. But I'm moving, or I'm going to go live in France for the next 3 months. And maybe even longer. I've got an internship and I'm going to see if it leads to something else. And he's like, what about the newspaper? And she's like, you were doing the boxing thing and that now the documentary. And
the whole reason I was doing that was I was clearing my plate of the boxing thing so we could focus on the newspaper. And one of the main reasons I signed off on the documentary is so we could get the money for the newspaper.
And she said, I can't go into a venture like that with someone that has all this baggage.
Such a checkered past.
And then a raspy voice from the corner of the room cleared his throat, and Nico said, we've got the perfect first story for you. And she said, what? And he said, we want to start this newspaper off in a big way. Before you leave, let's just write the ultimate story. We're going to blow this whole thing up.
And you know, she ended up missing her flight because Nico had said the magic words. And they researched one Sheila Davis and got into her biography. And they made up their own biography for one Sheila Davis and made her a local to that town. And they pieced together a story about her based on all the worst people from Pittsburgh. And it was good. And this was an old-fashioned newspaper story. This was not a documentary. There was no footage. It was just words. But it was good. It was convincing. It was stirring.
It was memeable. And the internet caught fire with this scandal that one of the PPN higher-ups had manipulated and lied and created a whole terrible narrative, but worse than that, was involved in all kinds of criminal underworld activities and was just an awful human being. Went all the way to the top of the PPN network, but Sheila Davis was the linchpin. The community came out with pitchforks and started writing letters and calling their city council members and protesting outside of her house.
And
she also lived in Pittsburgh.
They did. Yeah. They didn't realize that at the time, but they uncovered it when they started working on the story.
They didn't have to make that part up.
And by the time that all sort of is peaking, it's time for episode 3 to be released of the miniseries. And in this episode, it's the climax where
Trevor doesn't even want to watch it. Nico's watching it. Trevor's in the other room. Nico has some popcorn and is sitting on the couch. Not celebratory popcorn. That's just something Nico liked to snack on now and then.
And in the episode, this episode 3 is all about how Trevor wanted to get his start by he wanted to dive into the gritty underworld of this backwoods Appalachian boxing circuit, but in his first fight, he lost to this lunatic weirdo. And at this part of the episode, Trevor comes back into the room and he's watching, and they've doctored this footage and edited in a way that makes him look like he lost to the weird guy who he actually beat handedly.
There's a whole interview with the weird guy that had to have been recorded on the same day. Trevor could tell by the injuries on the face of the weird guy. And the weird guy saying, yeah, he put up a good fight, but in the end, I came out on top. That's Appalachian power for you. These city slickers don't know how to fight, and so on and so forth. And Trevor kind of couldn't believe the foresight that had to have gone into this whole scheme. He almost had a sort of respect for Sheila Davis, especially given the fact that they had just engineered a similar deceit. His game recognized her game.
And also, this being robbed of this one victory that he had changed Trevor's whole perspective on boxing and his relationship with it too. Before, he had just been doing it as a part of this family tradition. He just wanted to win the city title and get on with his life. But having won that fight against the weird guy and feeling what that felt like, and then having it taken away from him in this way, made him realize how much he had cherished the competition and the contest and the victory and
the honesty of it all.
Yeah, it felt like the most honest thing that you could be a part of.
You put two people face to face. One of them's on the ground at the end of the fight. You can't lie about that.
But it turns out you can when you have television. And Trevor was horrified.
And he wasn't having it. And he started he put his boxing gloves on and he started going around Manea's house and opening all the closets and all the doors. And sure enough, he finds Jack crouching in the linen closet, and he just pummels Jack until he's unconscious. And
Jack comes to a couple days later in the living room. They didn't want to kill him after all, so they sort of kept him there. And as he's coming out of his stupor, he realizes that his personal jig is up. He's not going to be able to get away with this anymore. But he starts talking to them and admits some guilt, admits feeling a little remorse for the ruse, and apologizes for the damage that it's done to Trevor and his family and friends, and kind of nods his cap a little bit at the incredible work that they had done against Sheila, and suggests that there might be some gainful employment for him in their industry if he ever was interested in it. And as they're talking and going back and forth, Jack makes kind of an offhand comment. They're talking about the All City Boxing. They're talking about boxing in general. And he says something along the lines of, yeah, of course, that's the way it's always been, or something like that, and moves on. And Trevor catches him and says, wait, what did you mean by that statement? It's always been that way. And Jack says, nothing. I didn't mean anything in particular by it. Tries to change the subject, and Trevor holds him to it. And it emerges that, according to Jack, that previous boxing bouts, All City Boxing bouts, had their own sort of version of creative reportage back in the day. Calling into question in Trevor's mind for the first time in his life, the authenticity of his dad's version of the story.
These generations, Bach men in his family who came home with the title, maybe none of them actually earned it. And he kept the gloves on and he said, Jack, you're going to want to film this. And he walked across town from Manea's house to his parents' house
with Jack in tow.
And, Daddy-O was there in the recliner, and Trevor, confronts him and says, How do I know that you won the title when you were my age? And Dad said, 'cause I told you so. And Trevor said, put on your gloves and let's do this right now. Let's see who takes the family title. 'Cause I don't believe you. I don't believe you were the boxer you said you were. I only believe what I see nowadays. And so you got to prove it to me. And so Dad put on his gloves and they moved some furniture out of the way. And Jack is loving it. Jack gets into position in the corner, and Trevor and Dad box the pants off each other, and it hurts. There's no rounds. It's just punching and blocking and dodging and running away to catch the breath, and then maybe pushing the other guy down so that you can cut.
And it's evident from this battle that his dad does know how to box. It's certainly not the case that he just pretended to be a boxer. He clearly knew how to box, even in his advanced age, even out of training. He was holding his own against his son, who is in a much more virile state of life. But in the end, Trevor does get the better of his father. They, panting and bloodied, sort of sit down and grudgingly kind of bump their boxing mitts together. And
they take off the gloves. And they don't hug, but they're sitting on the floor together and feeling closer than they ever have.
And his father says, thanks for that. Thanks for that. If you'll excuse me, I've got I've got a little something of my own I need to settle now. And packs his gloves up into a backpack, and Jack is very excited and follows the father out into the driveway and gets into the car with the father, and they drive away to presumably Trevor's grandfather's house.
Grandpa's house. And they do the same thing. Dad and Grandpa have a knockdown, drag-out boxing match in the living room. Same outcome. It's a good, legitimate fight, but Dad ends up besting Grandpa, and Grandpa's like, they bump gloves and they sit there, and he says, "Thanks for that," and he says, "Now I got to go take care of something," and he gets in his car, which is a Cadillac. And Jack goes with him, and they drive back to, they go back to Trevor's house and get Trevor's older brother out of bed. and Grandpa and Trevor's older brother box, and Trevor's older brother beats Grandpa. Probably would beat him anyway, but Grandpa's already had one fight for the day. And then his older brother comes and fights Trevor, and it's pretty much a draw.
everybody's fought one of the people in line at that point. Trevor's actually got two, and so he's feeling the most healed by it all. And Jack decides to keep that footage to himself until this all blows over.
Because he thinks he's really got something special.
And he just writes on all the tapes the real story, and puts them in his duffel and zips it up. And he tells all the Bach men are in this house now, and he tells them and says, "Make sure you tell Diane this. I don't know where she is right now, but... this is the last you'll ever see of me, I promise." And Jack leaves. And
about six months later, a documentary comes out on a different network. And it's a touching, there's lots of soft piano music. It's a touching synopsis of this, the family of Trevor. All kinds of behind-the-scenes footage of their life at home, private moments, heartfelt conversations between Trevor and Nico. It's frankly very invasive, but it has the effect of restoring the reputation of Trevor and totally telling a truthful narrative of what happened.
Perfectly faithful. It's faithful and accurate, and they couldn't have told it more true if they had told it themselves.
It revealed things to themselves that they didn't understand about their own relationships and their own story. Helped them understand themselves deeper, brought tears to their eyes. Monet was in France by then. She saw it online, and it restored her faith in the newspaper project. So she committed to coming back from her time in France to eventually get back to that project as well.
Sheila's body washed up on the shores of the Allegheny River, and
because the story that they made up about her and all the bad things she did,
turned out it was actually completely.
It was a lot of it was it, true.
Well, and actually it was so persuasive, and so she got so engrossed in it that she actually started to live the life that they had painted in the story, which led her into all kinds of seedy.
She owed money to four different crime families, mm-hmm. and
she really know, just lost she, touch. She lost touch.
Only
with-
she could say which one of them finally popped her off, but. She's dead on the beach. That's where they found her.
And peace largely returned to this this part of Philadelphia. Nico and Trevor.
Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh. Trevor and Nico.
The Pittsburgh neighborhood of Philadelphia.
Trevor and Nico, they lived happily ever after. There's no more boxing for Trevor. He decided not to enter the
That's interesting because he did have that moment where he had sort of believed in boxing, mm-hmm. And it meant something to him. But he got that out of his system with the whole family cycle, I guess.
Yeah, he knew there could never be a fight that was more pure than that mm-hmm. family circular boxing day fight. And Nico told him that he would break up with him if he boxed anymore. So that sealed the deal.
And he said, Nico, one step ahead of you, and held up his withdrawal letter from the tournament. And they lived happily ever after.
The tournament didn't go. It didn't happen. It and the gym closed, but a thriving underground boxing circuit was born in Pittsburgh, and it was honest, and it wasn't corrupted by money at all. It was just dads and sons or other family members.
Multi-generational families.
Punching their way to truth.
And
the
healing.
The so-called weird guy moved to town. And he made amends with Trevor and joined this league and was an important figure. He had a little bit of a rock star aura of him because everybody knew him from the documentaries, the controversial documentaries.
And Monet ran the paper for a while, but then decided the managerial side of things really wasn't her style. She wanted to be on the streets. She wanted to be reporting. And she actually became a correspondent for PPN covering boxing in the Pittsburgh area.
Pittsburgh Providential News is what it stood for.
It had started small, become the largest sports network in the world, and Monet was bringing it back to her roots. Its roots.
The end.
The end. Baiters and Stories are improvised and recorded live over the internet. We clean up the audio, but we don't edit, rehearse, or redo any content, for better or worse. Subscribe and find other stuff we do at Baiterson.com. And folks, never forget that the story you tell can take on a life of its own and may come back to hit you.